Well, I can definitely say that the number 12 is my personal lucky number. That is not a joke. That is an actual shoot. 12 is my lucky number. And here we are for episode 12 of the NWA Power Review. I'm Johnny Florida, and you are enjoying some good music in that if I want to have my lucky number be a special thing, I want it to be known. It's my luck. It's my charm. It's my treasure. My national treasure. And that's why I'm using the theme song of the Gilded Warrior, the national treasure, Nick Aldis, the NWA World's Heavyweight Champion, as this week's NWA theme song for the Power Review. But more importantly, aside from the music of the national treasure, other than the music of the World's Heavyweight Champion, other than the music of the Gilded Warrior, and other than the fact that I got people annoyed the fuck out of me right now with this intro, I'm joined along with the great sensation himself, the man that makes both Houston and Dallas proud. He is a Twin Cities favorite, and I'm not talking Dallas-Fort Worth. I'm talking Dallas and Houston. I'm talking North Texas's great child. I'm talking the man who was born of East Texas and makes all of West Texas look down with shame. And that is the Papa Bear himself, Papa Dave.
Again, let's go find... He sounds pretty...
I'd say so, although I gotta say, you're coming in a little broken, Dave. So...
Something's breaking up here. I hear you breaking up, too.
Yeah. So... he's just in awe right now, everybody. It happens. So,
Yeah, I'm...
Yeah, I got a little bit of max bandwidth going on. But that's okay, because we are talking about a lot of good stuff going on. So, I mean... It's another episode that we cut out, and I'm just going to cut out fast on the music and get rid of some of the things going on my CPU, cool that down. Let me hit the turbo on the fans I got going on. There we go. And look at that. I've already cut the thing down to 65%. That's fucking awesome. But we're now here into episode 12, and I got to say to everybody quickly, I think... I might, for everybody knows, I went to the NWA power shows, and I think this may be the last time. If you guys watch with the into the audience, you'll see me in the audience. I'm there. Which, another quick side note, for those who donated to our Patreon for this year, for the patreon.com/WNC, and you entered into our fantasy booking tournament and have a chance to win a number of prizes, including the WNC Cyber World Championship belt that has been autographed by none other than the outlandish Zicky Dice, by none other than the former two-time NWA National and World's Heavyweight Champion, Colt Boom Boom Cabana, also autographed by another wrestler who has not come out yet on NWA TV, so I'm not going to say exactly who just quite yet. We'll hold off judgment for about another week or so. And therefore, I can say that this belt that you have a chance of winning has been seen on NWA TV. Take that as what you will. I think there's only enough footage for what I attended for one more show. So... I started thinking this was it because, honestly, I could tell you, Dave, I think this was a little bit out of order. I got to see how next week's show goes because if I remember right, the main event of the night for us for the taping was supposed to be Nick Aldis versus Tim Storm, which we're going to be talking about how that happened in tonight's show. So I think they did some things out of order, which I saw this when we went to – when I used to go to TNA shows as well. So they don't do everything in – the same order that ends up on TV, I can tell you guys that. So, we'll see how it goes for next week. I know there is some footage, now that I think about it, some matches and other items here or there that has not been seen yet. So I know there's going to be a lot of that. But, Dave, what did you think about now with episode 12 in the books? We have now completed a dozen episodes of the NWA.
Looking good. Looking good. It was a solid episode, man.
Yeah,
I liked it a lot. I like what they're, and we're going to talk about it as we go into it, of course, especially with the main event that you mentioned. But I really like whatever Nick Aldis is doing with himself right now. He needs to keep doing it.
Yeah,
this is the first time he's really been, you know, I turn the TV on and go, okay, well now he's actually doing something. You know, he's got that gentleman heel stuff pretty much thrown that off the stove, and I like it.
Oh, yeah. No, he's definitely been, when I was there live in person seeing a lot of stuff, man, you just felt the hate. He knows how to do it that way. That it's like you want to hate the guy. And it's like, well, it's perfect. The guy's a heel anyway, so we got to hate him. But it really was like, man, I could tell you the energy. I can only imagine how it was back in the days of the territories, you know, with kayfabe and everything. I mean, you know, Jim Quinn has talked about it many times, the idea, you know, how many times a gun has been pulled out and stuff, how many times shots have been fired. And imagine how someone like Nick, like, there's a good question for you, Dave. What would somebody like Nick Aldis be like back in the days of the territories? Do you think he would have had to worry about getting shot or stabbed or any of the things like the incidents you hear about from the territory days?
I don't know. I mean, I if he keeps doing what he's doing right now, I don't know about shot or stab. You know, that was a very rare thing. I know, you know, we like to think that you know, down here in the South, we all just packed our guns to the rest so we could shoot at them bad guy fellers. But for the most part, nobody did. Now, there are lots of knives and bottle openers and shit like that. There are a lot more of those than guns. So,
yeah, you got like Jake the Snake Roberts talked about on Joe Rogan one time in Louisiana. He got stabbed with a box cutter by like an 80-year-old woman.
Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, all those old ladies used to, you know, and the old guy, everybody used to carry some kind of a pocket knife or a blade or something.
Yeah.
Just, you know, because that's just what you did. So, oh, you know, yeah, man. It's going to be interesting. That's why I mentioned it, to see what Nick Aldis does with this, like, new turn of events.
Yeah.
And new way of being. So it's going to be interesting.
Well, we could definitely talk about all this talk we're doing on Nick Aldis is perfect, because that's how we're going to be leading into this. The very beginning of the episode started with a bit of a recap of everything going on with Tim Storm from the previous weeks, which is why the episode 12 was titled by the NWA, Something Left to Prove. And that's kind of the whole thing going on with Nick Aldis. That's why he's pushing himself when it comes to the in the NWA World TV Title Tournament. It's why he's pushing himself with everything he's got going on. You know, he's not able to go for the World Heavyweight Championship anymore. But that does not mean he needs to retire from wrestling. And it's like, you could definitely feel the tension of the idea, like, okay, he's still got something left to prove. He wants to keep wrestling and everything. And the question is there, how long will he keep wrestling for, you know? And it's hopefully not for a while. I mean, meaning, like, I hope he keeps wrestling for a while. So we'll see. But he's out there. He's conducting an interview. One of the best things was something that you had pointed out to me, Dave. I don't know if it was last week or the week before. When we were talking about the whole thing, you know, the fact that Tim Storm can't go for the World's Championship, you said there could always be a chance that some way, somehow, maybe they'll do something to cause some kind of reversal. Maybe he'll face off in, against Nick Aldis or somebody else and get his right to challenge for the championship again. And it's like, he wrestled Nick Aldis for the title on episode one. He lost the match, so he couldn't travel. He couldn't fight for the belt again. And it's like, during this interview, Dave Marquez asks him, you know, if you win the TV title tournament, he goes, what? There ain't no if. He goes, when you win, are you going to look at going back into the world title tournament? My thinking would be that they would treat the whole stipulation as if there was a contract, you know? He put his odds on the line that this was his last chance ever to go for the world's championship, and if he lost, he'd never be able to face off for it again. And it's like they're asking him. It's as if it's like, I don't know, wouldn't it have been treated back in the day that would have been gold, as if it was a contract? No, you lost, so you can never wrestle for it again. And yet they're treating it kind of like the whole, you know, maybe he could just say, you know what, fuck it, I'm turning against what I said, and I'm going to challenge for the belt.
Well, I mean, I don't know if that's going to be the scenario or not.
Right.
You know, all they're doing right now is one of those great things that professional wrestling does. They're just dropping little hints,
mm-hmm.
You know, putting ideas in your head. Just, you know, here's something and here's something else. Now they say, what about the world title, you know, picture? And, you know, all he does is kind of shrug his shoulders like, well, you know my situation, but you know, this pro wrestling, a lot of things that seem impossible can be made possible.
Yeah.
With good booking, creative booking, and just some simple ideas. So, you know, like I said, you're right. Like I had said a few weeks ago, this is a wait and see scenario. Yeah. And they're building it really nicely.
Yeah.
Just a little at a time.
Definitely.
Whichever way it goes, you know, it's, you know, it's one of those situations again that gets you thinking, wait a minute. Okay. All right. Well, yeah. Okay. Let's see what happens.
Right.
So there you go.
While he's doing this, of course, the Nick Aldis and Camille come out, you know, and I'll tell you this was a fun part was because we were definitely getting into it, going down on him as fans in the audience. You know, there was two parts I made notes about this. You know, a fan yells out, "You're an asshole," and he goes, "Hey, show some respect." You know, another one with the same guy says, "You know, that's a cheap suit." His cheap suit. He goes, "Oh, there's nothing cheap about this. You know what you're talking about." That's one of the things I definitely like with the studio wrestling. You see this a bit with independent wrestling, but not too much. Is that with the studio wrestling, I get it now. I don't know if every territory was like this, Dave. I know you would know a bit more, whether you grew up on them or, of course, just knowing about some of the stuff. Because I know of you, I know Houston didn't have studio wrestling, but you watched Mid-South, and it sounds like you know a bit of wrestling at the Chase in St. Louis. It's like they outright have to get, it's like what people say, it's very close, it's very intimate. You can hear the audience, so now it's like you're kind of forced to interact with the audience. You don't see this with WWE anymore. They tell them to try to not interact with the fans as much as possible. Meanwhile, you got the NWA, these wrestlers feel like they have to at some points, and other times it's literally just someone says something and they're able to quick-witted make a response.
Isn't that interesting? Putting it where you can actually hear the fans, and the fans are actually taunting the heel. Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah.
When's the last time you heard that in a wrestling show?
Exactly. I did like the one spot though, when Nick always said to call out Ricky Morton and like the idea of the other old timers in the company. He calls out Ricky Morton, quote, "Ricky Morton and all the other Randy the Rams back there," which if people don't know what that means, Mickey Rourke's character in The Wrestler was Randy the Ram Robinson. So that's what the Martin spot was. And we all understood that. I think it's definitely good. I think it's still building up this whole thing, this whole feud between them. And it's like, the cool thing about this is, Nick Aldis is now, if you think about it, Dave, it's almost like a spider web once again being done. You know, we saw this when it came to James Storm, and some of the other guys when it came to, like, tag team wrestling. Now you look at it, and it's happening with Nick Aldis. He's got this thing developing with Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson. There's still people trying to make the spots when it comes to Marty Scurll, and the feud between him and Tim Storm has never died. You know, you would have thought that would have been it once once episode one with the championship match and Tim Storm losing, but they built a friendship and some things, but now it's turned back into a feud. So now Nick Aldis is involved from all different ways, left and right.
Well, and in my mind, that's where the world champion should be, you know? Especially a heel world champion like him. I mean, there ought to be all kinds of guys. And that's another thing that I think is unique, about smaller shows like NWA and MLW. You always hear of more than one guy who wants to get their title shot.
Yeah.
And they talk about it in promos. You hear about it, you know, hell, Eli Drake. He's constantly reminding everybody that he wants to be part of the world title picture.
Yeah.
You got Jack Storm. You got kind of sort of on the side over there. You've got guys like Trevor Murdoch.
Yeah.
There are all kinds of possibilities for just, you know, shows down the future, pay-per-views. You know, the sky's the limit. And they're building everybody up right. It's a little at a time, doing it as simply as they humanly and possibly can.
Yeah.
And I think it's tremendous. Just tremendous.
Definitely. And I'm fully agreeing with you on that. We now come back, they cut to a break, do a promo about the upcoming pay-per-view, Hard Times. You know, it's sold out. If anybody's wanting to go to these shows, what is it, 24th and 25th or 25th and 26th? Friday is the 24th NWA Hard Times, 25th and 26th for the power tapings. There's still limited tickets remaining. We come back and we have a submission exhibition match between Sal Rinauro, already in the ring, facing up against the third degree NWA National Heavyweight Champion, the Shooter, Aaron Stevens. Aaron Stevens, Shooter Stevens, however you want to say it. This match lasted for just under 3 minutes. It lasted 2 minutes and 2 minutes and 49 seconds. So, what do you think about this whole karate Shooter Stevens deal going on now, Dave?
I'm working on it. I really am. I'm working on it.
Just remember, $29.99 a week. We can get you to become the next third degree black belt in Mongolian karate.
They haven't sold me yet, so I'm still thinking about it.
What if we knocked it down to $22.99?
You can knock it down to $2.99. I'm still thinking about it.
I did love it. Like, you had some spots. He's doing some shitty karate moves. The karate clothesline I actually thought was really good looking, if you remember it, Dave. I thought the spot looked good because I know it's going to be weird, but it had a whole karate look for Aaron Stevens' gimmick, but it kind of reminded me a little bit. He did it good enough to almost remind me of like JBL's clothesline from Hell. Like, it could actually be a signature move for him if he was to treat it in a much more serious sense, like a signature move or a finisher, you know? Because we know the clothesline from Hell would look like it did a lot of damage. So if he were to do a little bit more, that karate clothesline could actually become a signature move for him.
It's possible. I agree.
Match ends with Stu Bennett calls the Mongrovian Clutch. He gets quick back thing. Sal Rinauro had one thing where he actually grabbed Aaron Stevens' leg and was trying to taunt for a figure four, and then got into the reversal, which eventually led to the karate clothesline. But so he wins with the Mongrovian Clutch. Definitely goes more to the idea of him being, you know, the Shooter. You know, Shooter Stevens is the fact of now having a submission move. And I think that's definitely a good thing, the fact they gave him another move to be able to utilize, at least for the gimmick. So, what'd you think overall of the match?
A good squash match, as a squash match is supposed to be. An old Sal Rinauro, God bless him, got a punch or two in, so he was working hard. Good match. I mean, they're continuing to highlight Aaron Stevens and do everything that they can to get him over.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're doing it the right way.
Yeah, definitely. After the match, Aaron Stevens is still continuing on with the Mongrovian Clutch. The referee tries to stop him. Finally, Trevor Murdoch comes out to save the day. And they get into a bit of a spat over the microphone. One thing I like, and people noticed it, and it was very obvious, Aaron Stevens made a quick reference to his WWE days, pointing out the fact of how he used to be the intellect and helping educate and smarten up people. And he points out, like, you know, I know what you're doing. You're just trying to do this so you can get a shot at the national title, which I love Trevor's response. He goes, he eventually says, I don't want a shot at your national title, but I do want to kick your ass. And we went nuts when he said that. We loved it. Not just because the idea, like, oh, my God, everything's been PG. They said, oh, my God. No, it's not really that. It's just the idea of you felt it. He's like, I don't care about becoming the champion. I just want to beat the shit out of you. That's what it felt like, you know. And then Trevor makes a challenge against him for a match. And Aaron says, you got to put your spot on the line because Trevor Murdoch's in the TV title tournament. He goes, put that on the line. And I'd liked one spot. He messed up. He goes, like, put your spot on the line in the television tournament. The television title tournament. He couldn't talk. He was starting to jumble it up, which wasn't the biggest deal. But we started laughing, and we did a whole chant of, you can't talk, which he actually smiled back and said, think about what you're saying. That was really good. It goes back to the whole fan interaction deal and everything. The psychology they're building up with this storyline right there is really doing wonders. So, anything from you, Dave, before we move on?
I've said everything I need to say on that one.
We cut to a quick promotion, commercial promotion, whichever. Promotional consideration. No, how is it done? Promotional consideration has been brought to you by the following. And it was a Suitman Carruthers promo for HighSpots.com with none other than Danny Deals. The guy kind of looked like to be different. I don't want this to sound like an insult. But the guy, if you remember his promo for Suitman Carruthers, he looked like Gary Hart if he was skinnier and taller. He just, like, he looked like the guy was supposed to be like a manager until he started taking off his shirt later on. You know, Mitch Bennett style for everybody listening. Haha. No, but like he took it off like, and then started thinking like, okay, this guy's actually going to be a wrestler. He's not a manager. But I saw him as a manager and I pictured like Gary Hart, when he was talking.
He is a wrestler. That's Jake Manning.
Who's that?
Jake Manning. His name is Jake Manning. He's an independent wrestler in that part of the country.
I didn't even think of doing a check on him, and I'm the one usually doing that, so thank God for Dave.
That's Jake Manning.
I didn't know that, so I'm glad that was able to come back for me. We come back, and it's the TV title tournament spot match between Trevor Murdoch and Aaron Stevens. You know, I've kind of been doing most of the rambling so far, so I should try to make it look like it's not a dictatorship. Dave, you want to take over for this match?
No, you go ahead. Dictatorship away.
Goddamn. Okay, this match goes for literally exactly 3 minutes because I keep track of these times bell to bell, everybody. 18:08 to 21:08. An immediate takedown by Trevor Murdoch on Aaron Stevens, and he gets out of the ring immediately realizing, okay, this shit's real. And he's doing the chicken shit heel kind of gimmick again, eventually gets in. He tries to go for a karate kick, and Trevor Murdoch grabs him and then takes him down. Watching this match, Dave, it just felt like, you know, I'm glad he's in the TV title tournament, but it just felt like, you know, for everybody, Trevor Murdoch, he just keeps going. He dominates almost the entire time. He pulls off his own variant of like the vice lock, and then he gets an armbar for a tap out to win. It's like, my God, not only was it the fact that the title spot was on the line for the tournament, but this match should have been for the national title. Like, they should have made they could have made this a longer match, Dave, put it on pay-per-view, and it would have been a great match. Like, and not to mention the fact of how Trevor Murdoch dominated, got that variant of the vice lock, got the armbar, and got a tap out on the champion. Like, Trevor Murdoch should be, I don't know how he's going to do in this in the tournament, but the guy should be facing Aaron Stevens for the national title at Hard Times.
I like the path that he's on right now. And I like what they did with the match in 3 minutes. So it's, you know, and I mean, is there a way down the road? Cause, you know, we don't know what's going to happen in the tournament yet. So, I mean, they're still working through all that. So what we've got is them setting Trevor Murdoch up with Aaron Stevens for either something immediate, or then you may have something a little, you know, a little ways down the road for the national title. So, you know, they're not trying to map it out ABC 1-2-3. They're just laying these ideas out for you.
Right.
And the idea is, this was for a spot in the TV tournament. You know, look what could happen next. If Trevor Murdoch challenges Aaron Stevens for that national title, look at the possibility of what might happen.
Right.
It's kind of an easy breezy, you know, goes down smooth way they book the show, and I like it. I really do.
Yeah.
They leave things open. Oh, that's a cool thing.
Definitely. And I agreeing with you. I mean, I definitely like it. Building up even more with Trevor Murdoch. You know, it's not like what is it for a lot of people? Okay, well, why aren't they putting the title on him? Well, he's only been around for a few weeks. Not talking Trevor. I'm talking like a general example, everybody. And it's like, yeah, take the time with him. I want to see Trevor Murdoch as a champion. I'll say it. I want to see him with some kind of gold around his waist. I got no problem with waiting. But I just feel like with the way the whole match went, it's like, this guy should be facing him now for the title. You know, you beat the champion in a non-title match, let you go for a shot. So
okay, here's a quick scenario. Trevor Murdoch beats the national champion in 3 minutes. It puts in everybody's mind, well, this is a tough son of a bitch. I want to watch him all through the TV tournament. Because it looks now like he's got a really good chance of winning.
True.
He just beat the national champion in 3 minutes.
This is true. You make a good point.
It's you know, I just like the way they're massaging this. It's smooth. It's easy. It's a beautiful thing. They're doing it right, man. They're doing it right.
Yeah. No, I can't dispute that. We come back. Well, no, we don't come back yet. We go to a promo they do announcing a thing called NWA Power Surge for everybody. Now, I'm going to take this and make two things into one, because this happens later on as well. They also announced something called NWA Girl Power, which they kind of took the old Powerpuff Girls logo and put that in there for how they promoted it. It looks to be two kinds of discussion shows. They're going to be on NWA's website, NationalWrestlingAlliance.com. So you're going to be able to go on there. The Power Surge looks to be a potential of an interview done by the Pope. The Pope D'Angelo De Niro is going to be the one doing the interviews. And they show the first one clip of it is him talking to Eddie Kingston and Homicide. Looks like he's trying to force a possibility of a split between them, because he's trying to push up and promote the idea of, you know, Eddie Kingston could be a world champion material. And now people remember Homicide was one of the first guys to ever hold the Ring of Honor World Championship. So it's pointed out, you know, like, yeah, I've been a world champion, you know, back up there, Ring of Honor World Champion. First ever Latino world champion. And you got Eddie Kingston going, yeah, I'm basically following in his shoes. But the way the Pope is pushing it, like the talk, you could just try to tell he's trying to push a rift between the two of them. But then you've also got NWA Girl Power, which happens later on. And it looks to be like a women's-based interview show. Well, not even an interview show. Honestly, it felt like The View. So you have one set, it's of the three, the Power Latinas. So you got Thunder Rosa, Melina, and Marty Bell. And they're talking about, you know, how much they hate Allison Kay and some of this shit. And I thought she was actually my friend, and it was all fake and stuff. And then they come to another one done, and you got Tasha Steeles, Ashley Vox, ODB, and Allison Kay, and they're talking. And now, when they showed the picture for this, NWA Girl Power, the picture they had included 16 women. I counted it out. I stopped and counted it out. And these are all the women that they showed in the picture that I could identify. ODB, Ashley Vox, Marty Bell, Thunder Rosa, Melina, Mae Valentine, Tasha Steeles, and Allison Kay. And so there's 16 women. I could identify 8 of them. Which at least is good, because it helps show, hey, we're going to be having a bigger women's division pretty soon. That's a good thing. But these whole kind of discussion shows is kind of weird, in my opinion. What do you think about these, Dave?
Well, I'll tell you how much attention I paid. I fast-forwarded through a large portion of it. I stopped when you saw all the girls, all the women sort of together, and Alice and Kay talking. But for a good portion of it, I just kind of fast forwarded. Okay. I'm not interested in talk shows. Exactly. I don't turn that shit on for talk shows.
Yeah. Now, a quick thing, my opinion, guys. If it's like a quick 30-second clip, and the rest of it is like, hey, you know, check it out on NationalWrestlingAlliance.com, I'm not going to see a problem with that. It's not going to be a burn. I'm not going to look at it and go, oh my god, why are they doing it the way? No, if it's like 30, 45 seconds, that's fine. That's a way to promote them. But if they were to do like full clips like this again, like every week, it's going to be like, come on, really? So, they do a quick promo showing for the NWA TV title tournament that Ricky Starks and Question Mark have advanced in the tournament. They then do a country style promo, I would call it, for the NWA Hard Times. You know, it was some good music. I liked the way it was. I mean, what do you think of about that promo, Dave? It was definitely different. The song was Hard Times, so that's why they picked it, because the pay per view is Hard Times. So,
Is that the one that that was Billy Corgan singing?
That was.
Billy Pumpkins, 90s rock god Billy Pumpkins, actually sat down and wrote a song for his wrestling promotion. God bless him. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was Billy Pumpkins singing a new composition.
Okay.
About the Hard Times pay-per-view. And thank God, I mean, this is, you know, only one of the rock gods of the 90s. You know, it'd be nice to see him get on his guitar and write a little music for his wrestling promotion.
Is this supposed to be your way of hope that he's going to be getting rid of Dawkins soon?
As far into the fire as they can throw that shit.
Yeah. So we come back and Eli Drake comes out, and personal favorite for me is Eli Drake, of course.
Yeah.
Exactly. Which, by the way, I did a year count, and I also did a right count. He says right 3 times, and he does his yeah 8 times. I like the fact, you know, he references last week's whole thing when he was drunk. He's like, I got lost in the sauce and all that. Basically, he comes out and does this whole promo and is basically saying that he's going to be going out and looking for a tag team partner because he's trying to enter the tag team title picture so he can get the tag team belts, which he takes some pop shots at Ken Anderson, which leads to Colt Cabana coming out to defend him. And they go back and forth and everything going on. So definitely building a feud between them. You thought that the Ken Anderson feud with Eli Drake was over, but it looks like they're trying to build it up a little bit, mostly because of Colt Cabana, who Ken Anderson does come out. I love the fact he's wearing a grunt style t-shirt, so that's awesome. People forget Ken Anderson served in the military, so good stuff there. What do you think, Dave? Like, I mean, now, if it goes off into the full thing, like, okay, they're going for the tag team titles, then it can make sense why it's still going to have some involvement. But, and I really love the feud between Eli Drake and Ken Anderson, but, you know, do you feel like they should try to, I don't want to use the word bury it, because you could always revisit a feud, but maybe calm it down for the time and try to move forward to focus on the tag team titles rather than the continued feud between Eli Drake and Ken Anderson? Or do you think it's good to have, like, the two feuds mixed into one?
Well, I can see that they're throwing Colt Cabana in the mix.
Yeah.
As a possible opponent for Eli Drake. I have no problem with that. The one thing there, other than, you know, the way, Eli Drake's a talker. No doubt about it. So in that situation, the guy I was kind of like, wow, he's pretty good, was Colt Cabana.
Yeah.
He was serious. He wasn't cutting jokes. And I thought, wow, it's pretty good. It's a damn good babyface promo.
Yeah.
And I thought, hey, well, yeah, this is different. I love different. So if we're going to see a little bit more of a bit more serious Colt Cabana, you know, Colt Cabana, the pro wrestler, the 2-time NWA World Heavyweight Champion, maybe that guy is going to finally show up. When he does, I think we'll see some pretty good shit.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Actually, I shouldn't say it like that. I'd be like, yeah, there we go.
Between his in-ring fellatio sessions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After this is when the NWA Girl Power spot comes in. So then we come back from that, and we have a women's match. Tasha Steele faces off against Marty Bell. This was the longest match of the night, I believe. Let me do the math. That would have been 4 minutes. Yeah, 4 minutes. And 4 minutes and 43 seconds is the match. Tasha Steele's face off against Marty Bell and beats her. Almost an even fight. Tasha got more into it. Definitely some taunting. And I thought it was a pretty decent match. The big part to me, though, was the match got kind of eclipsed, because the big thing was post-match after Marty Bell lost, Melina gets in there and just starts berating her, getting pissed off with her because of the fact that she lost everything. So they're already teasing the idea, I don't want to call it of a split, per se. But the fact that they're trying to tease that, because the idea that there's tension going on within the clique, you know, I mean, that's the only thing I'm thinking of, you know. What do you think, Dave?
Kind of agree with you on that. They're trying to build some tension within that group. But I don't see why they're doing it so damn soon.
Exactly.
I mean, my way of thinking that they'd let the thing kind of go for a while, then let one of them, which, you know, whichever one they that choose or however they work it out there, be the one that breaks away. This is happening awfully quick. So there again, maybe they've got another idea. It's at least something that I have no problem waiting to see what's going to happen. What was Marty Bell's opponent's name? Something Steels?
Tasha Steels.
Pretty good match.
Yeah.
I never seen her before. Pretty damn good.
Yeah.
So.
One of the other things I messed this up, this was probably the previous commercial, but before the NWA Girl Power, once again the commercial for flag football under 14. So 3 weeks in a row, I think that is maybe four. So they're taking this very seriously. So, for everybody listening live on the Mixler, we're down to the last 3.5 minutes. So, but we're coming close to the end of the show. So we'll see if you can meet this or not. Promo for next week. One of the matches for next week is going to be, Colt Cabana and Ken Anderson versus the Wildcard versus Eli Drake and James Storm. So it's going to be a three-way tag team match, and Eli Drake has found a tag team partner. And nobody knows the NWA World Tag Team titles better than, well, the Rock and Roll Express. But after that, James Storm. So that's kind of interesting. So that's going to be a good match.
Well, yeah, they're setting up the next opponents for the Rock and Roll.
Right. We then come back to... They do a promo with Kyle Davis and Anastasia Fletcher to announce the next match in the TV title tournament, which ends up becoming Zicky Dice versus Caleb Conley. That woman, Anastasia, does not know how to be in front of a camera, Dave.
I'm glad you told me who's going to be in the next match, because I kind of fast-forwarded through that.
Yeah. But,
I don't know who the guy even was, but they were just kind of like, you know.
So I'll be very quick. They announced Kyle Davis is going to be, for people that's known, they've announced the Circle Squared, which is where they're going to have these new up-and-coming guys that's going to be able to perform matches for the NWA. And if the fans really like them, and if Billy and Dave like them, and other people like them, it's a possibility that they could keep these guys for the future. Kind of like the whole TNA gut check and the TNA boot camp and then Tough Enough for WWE, if you will. Kyle Davis is going to be the host whenever they have the Circle Squared matches.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, last minute 45 for everybody live. We come back, but that Anastasia, she doesn't know how to be in front of a camera. She didn't smile one bit. She would just stare. It's like, she doesn't know how to be in front of a camera. So, hopefully she does better for that. We then come back to the main event of the night, which is supposed to be Tim Storm versus Nick Aldis in the TV title tournament. Nick Aldis comes out and says, like I said before, I was just doing this for fun. You've taken the fun out of it. So he decides he doesn't want to face off against Tim. He teases at one point that he's going to go in, comes back out, and then decides he's going to put Royce Isaacs in his spot, which makes sense because people remember Thomas Latimer, Bram is in the tournament. So if you want to not wrestle yourself, and one of you guys is already in the tournament, so you take the other guy you have and put him in the tournament spot. So the match lasted for 4 minutes and 26 seconds. Remember, they have the countdown going on because every single match in the tournament is 6 minutes and 5 seconds long. The match overall was pretty good. It was mostly Tim Storm leading, and you guys didn't see it a lot, but we saw it obviously being in the studio that. Every time he was getting hit and stuff, the whole faction, they would, you know, react to it, you know, and which was pretty good. I like that. You know, if you got somebody who's just standing to the side and not really reacting, it's like, okay, dude, that's your guy. What are you doing? But it was a good match. Tim Storm won the match and is continuing on. And so he's going to be in the next round for the tournament for the TV title. And then Rock and Roll comes out to confront him from confront Nick Aldis from behind. So... Everybody listening live, Clock's running out. Talk to you guys later.
Adios.
And for the last couple of minutes, what did you think about the match, Dave?
They put on a good match. But the match was this is one of those that were, the match wasn't just in the ring.
Right.
You had everybody around there, and then you had the rock and roll come out, and you know, that was just, you know, that just a good way to end a wrestling show with your baby face, you know, standing tall, the baby face world tag team champions come out and, you know, getting ready, you know, squaring off against Nick Aldis. And I do got to say one thing, the name of the faction, Strictly Business.
Yep.
Wonder how long it took them to come up with that one.
Didn't like the name.
They even got it on jackets.
Yeah.
We'll see. I'm guessing it'll grow on me. I like the faction itself. I mean, I think it's going to be a lot of exciting things, in the very near future from all of those guys and, Camille.
Yeah. And May. Don't forget May.
Oh, and May. Yeah. May Valentine. So, lots of fun things are happening. Dude, it was a good way to end the show.
Yeah.
That was a good way to go out.
My quick opinion, now that they've made a faction, one thing that's making me think, Dave, the wild card are the former World Tag Team Champions. Nick Aldis is the world's heavyweight champion. Mae Valentine right now is just going off as Royce Isaac's girlfriend, so she's not I mean, she's probably an indie wrestler. I couldn't find anything about her on it, but you know, at least she's right now just being the girlfriend. So that's fine. But you got Aldis, world's champion, the wild card former tag team champions. Then you got Camille. To be a proper idea of this whole faction and everything, I would not be surprised if we have Camille at some point challenge for the women's championship and bring that over.
Not. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the kind of group it is. Let's get all the gold. Let's collect all the gold.
Exactly.
And, yeah, why not?
You think they'll end up trying to bring in Aaron Stevens in the question mark, or at least as associates, if you will, maybe not full-fledged members?
I don't think so.
Yeah,
I don't think.
I'm just trying to think if they're going to go like that for all the belts and everything. So, but yeah,
I can't see that.
Yeah, I'm just shooting. So,
yeah, I got you, man.
So with that. I may be shooting like that whole idea, but one thing I'm not going to be shooting for too much, or I will be shooting, but it's not too crazy, is for the stars. Namely, the star ratings. I'm really trying to get better with these whole segues, so give me some slack, guys. Dave, if you had to shoot for the stars, a.k.a. your star rating, what would you give for this week's show?
I'll give it a 7.5.
Okay. You gave that for last week.
Good little show.
All right.
Yeah. Very entertained.
Yeah. Me, I'll give it a 7. I'm going to go a little lower from last week and a little lower than you. I thought it was a good show. It held up. The storyline they're really building with Nick Aldis, whether it's, I mean, tonight's, think about it, tonight they focused on Tim Storm with Nick Aldis. But it's like they've made a couple of spots here or there for Nick to say something that made the fans want to call out for Marty Scurll. So they made sure they had to count on the fans for that. They had to count on the fans for that. But they did it in a way that, okay, the fans are able to keep the idea, like reminding, hey, everybody, we got a feud with Marty Scurll going on. Well, they're teasing. I mean, it's more of a tease at this point. It's basically, you know, whipping them out and letting them see. You know, that's a fucking tease. But also, the feud now building up between the things with the Rock and Roll Express, you know, because he takes the Randy the Ram shot at them, and then, of course, at the very end of the night, they come from behind and, you know, surprise him, is, it's like I mentioned, it's a spider web. Now, it's not just because I did, like, okay, all these links, it's like a webbing. Here's one of the things about a spider web. I know I tend to overanalyze things, but bear with me, guys. A spider web, if you really look at it, is a beautiful form of art. It's meticulous, it's detailed. It looks like as if, like, a spider actually used, like, a ruler, because almost every single line is symmetrical with the next line. Like, they're almost evenly spaced out. They're in the right spot. They don't look off. Like I couldn't do that in real life. I'm such bad at drawing. You'd have to give me one of them coloring books so I can just pray to God I stay inside the lines. That's how bad I am. Meanwhile, these spiders pull that off. Here's what I'm trying to reference with that. They're making this whole webbing of all these different things when it comes to Nick Aldis. You know, like Dave mentioned, the idea of multiple competitors. So you have Marty Scurll. You have this whole fight and feud with Tim Storm. Not even about the world title anymore, because Tim's saying he's a man of his word and he's not challenging it. But it's now Tim Storm showing he has something left to prove and want to take down what happened with Nick. You got the rock and roll going on. You have Tim Storm face off against Royce Isaacs. Clearly has to deal with the feud between him and Nick Aldis. You have the fact that he picks Royce Isaacs. What did that do? It goes off a little bit with the whole thing building up with him and Mae Valentine. You know, he freaks out. You know, I wasn't planned. I'm not prepared. His girlfriend's ready to see him fight. She's all happy. He gets the kiss and everything. So it's doing a little bit of stuff right there to remind people, hey, he's doing the chicken shit thing, but doesn't want to look like a fool in front of his girlfriend. You've got so many different things going on in this webbing that it's just, it's astounding. You know, yeah. So that's why I overanalyze the webbing, but it makes sense at least.
Well, and you know, you've given a very clear cut description of what I've been talking about for the last several weeks. You know, the way they're just, you know, going very easy and smooth in and out of stories and in and out of ideas and you know, the angles are simple and leaves you anticipating. You know, it's a show that actually leaves you anticipating what's going to happen next week, so you'll tune in next week.
Yeah.
It does for me, so I really love it. I thought it was a hell of a show.
Same. And especially because now it's going to be great, because next week's going to be the first week after a couple of weeks where they change things up, you know. Because of the holidays, they add 1 week early, 1 week later. So now we're going to be back on a regular schedule. Hopefully the ratings will pick back up and everything will go good for them. So, but they've been doing some great stuff. Whether it's Billy Corgan, Dave Lagana, whether it's the announcers, the commentators, whether it's the wrestlers, and of those wrestlers, the MVPs, which we got to use as a, not as good of a segue as the other one, but a segue to go off of who is our MVP of the week. Dave?
I'm going to say Trevor Murdoch this week.
Okay.
Just like he did. Yeah, Trevor Murdoch.
All right. I would want to say Nick Aldis, but I think it's just too obvious, not to mention the fact he's the world's champion. I'd want to look at somebody different. I'm going to... I almost want to do Eli Drake as well. I'm going to go with Eli Drake, but my honorable mention as well, I'm going to mention quickly. I like Eli Drake because, you know, he comes out, he references the whole thing about him being drunk the previous week and all for the holidays and all that was funny. But he's emphasizing, the whole time he's talking, he's building you up and he's making you want to listen more and see what he does. And at first, you don't even realize it's the idea that he's pushing again, that he wants to go for the tag team titles, you know. We remember him wanting to go for the national title. I was a fan of him at Impact. I remember when he was the TNA King of the Mountain champion, and then later on he's the Impact World champion. And so it's like forgetting the idea that this guy would want to go for the tag team titles. It's been a minute since we've seen him do any kind of tag team wrestling. You know, he had that 1 week when he had Tim Storm. And he's naming off. He's pointing to the fact that, you know, maybe I'll go outside the box and pick Ken Anderson, the guy I just got done with a feud with. You know, he takes some pop shots. And he mentions James Storm, which people can look back and remember how that went some weeks back. And it really, to me, goes for that, because he's doing this whole build-up for you at first before pointing out the idea of the tag team titles, and you're getting into it. Whether it was when I was live in person getting into it, or I was just watching it again all over again, it was me getting into it. And then it's like, finally, so you're getting into him and his build-up. It's like there was a joke on an episode of South Park, bear with me, that It was the idea when Cartman decided he wanted to become a NASCAR driver. But he does this whole build-up at the very beginning when he gets to Butter's house and everything. He's riling him up and everything, you know. I'm going to do this, but I need your help. He goes, well, okay. Are you fired up? He goes, I'm fired. Get fired up. He goes, yeah. And he's, like, ready to fight and everything. But he has no clue what it's about. And then Cartman finally says, I'm going to be a NASCAR racer. He goes, what? But he still goes and does it because he's energized now. That's what it felt like with Eli Drake. He built you up with what he was talking about, and you didn't know exactly what it was. Was he going back to the feud with Ken Anderson? Is he talking about the idea of going for the world's title because he made a reference to Nick Aldis? What is it? And then he's pointing out the whole tag team titles picture that he talked about before he won it. You got into it. You got riled up. You got energized without knowing where this was leading to.
Exactly.
So...
Damn good talker, man. Yeah, I can't deny that. He is a damn good, and he's a good wrestler.
Oh yeah,
good looking athlete. You know, he's a total package. So
exactly.
There's more to come from him. No, plenty more.
Definitely. A quick thing. My honorable mention is Colt Cabana. I almost mentioned him as my MVP. And the reason for that was because, you know, it's this whole feud going, the shots Eli Drake was taking towards towards Ken Anderson, and Colt comes out, he's able to represent Ken, he's able to defend him, he's able to do that, which was great in a number of ways, because it's like, okay, he's helping elongate a little bit the feud between Eli Drake and Ken Anderson, he's playing a spokesman like that, but it's also... enough talking about how much he supports Ken Anderson, how much they're friends and everything, to remind you, hey, these guys could go for the tag team titles as well. So it wasn't just the idea of him defending another wrestler. It was the idea of, hey, I'm defending my tag team partner. I'm defending the guy that I could be partners with when we go for the tag team gold. Because it's not a tag team that's been built up, everybody. It's not the Hardy Boys. It's not, you know, Booker T and Goldust. Let's use a weird example. It's not the APA. It's not the Jacksons, the Young Bucks. It's... two guys, two former world champions who joined up when they both debuted in the NWA together, but have been kind of loosely separated because we've been seeing Colt for the national title, Ken Anderson in his feud with Eli Drake, and Colt's the one who was able to bring that back, the idea like, hey, no, this is my tag team partner, this is my buddy, I want to go for the gold as well, and it's going to be with this guy. So that's why I was almost picking Colt, but I felt it was an extra level with Eli Drake. And I picked him before as an MVP, which is why I wanted to pick Colt, because he didn't. But I'm like, nah, it's just Eli did enough that he has to be the MVP for me.
Sounds like a good deal.
Definitely. Well, that's all I got, other than my normal plugs that I'll do at the end. You got anything for the good of the group, Dave?
I don't think so. We'll see everybody next week. With yep. A brand new NBA report. Tune in when we're live and on the listen and download. Thank you very much for doing that. We're slowly growing, but we're growing a little bit. So yep. Thanks for that. We are going to keep doing this and hope you keep listening.
Exactly. Same everything he just said. Follow us on Facebook, WNC Network. Follow us on Twitter at the WNC Network and at WNC Super Party. Our website is WNC.world. I got to keep doing some updates to that. Some good stuff going on. Go to our platform section. You can see all the different platforms of where we're on, how to listen to us, and you can find out whichever one's the best for you. If you're curious, like, hey, are you guys on the platform I use? Well, this is a great way to look at it other than just searching, you know. Maybe the platform you guys use, maybe we're not on it. I mean, it's kind of hard. We're almost at 30 platforms at this point, but there's always the chance. And so this will be a great way for you to know, so that way you can also tell other people. If they say, I don't use that app, I use this one. Oh, well, they're on this one. So there you go. Patreon account, patreon.com/WNC. It's the beginning of the year now, so if you guys want to get in on this tournament, please start donating now. Even a dollar right now helps, because if you set up for a dollar now and you do it for 10 months, you've qualified for the tournament. If you do $5, you do it at least twice, you qualify for the tournament. If you donate $10 one time, if you want to keep donating more, that's great. But if you donate at least $10 one time, you qualify for our fantasy booking tournament for next year and can win the championship belt along with a lot of other prizes.
Right on.
We're building our YouTube. If you guys are watching this on YouTube, please subscribe. If you guys are not watching us on YouTube, go to YouTube. You can type in the NWA Power Review and you'll find us on YouTube. The channel is WNC, just WNC. I should probably make it WNC Network at this point. And yeah, that's really all I got.
Yes, do all that stuff.
So, getting this done just over 56 minutes in. So, I got nothing else. Dave, you want to get the last word?
The only last word is thanks again. See you next week. And as far as I'm concerned, as far as I should say, as far as from me, I'm done for the evening. Y'all have a good one.